Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Canty and Carlin.
It's been all Deshaun Watson. We've had a chance to remember Bill Russell as well and the impact that he has had. Bob Ryan's going to join us next hour for more on that. Mina Kimes in 30 minutes on Deshaun Watson. But right now, we welcome in Mr. Canty. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Carlin, Nick Friedell in today for Christopher Montavious Canty, who joins us right now on the phone. Am I getting closer with Montavious?
No, you're not getting closer. I don't know where you came up with Montavious, but I appreciate the creativity, big fella. I appreciate it. Nick, I appreciate you for putting up with Carlin today.
No, it's all good, my man.
Every single day.
It's all good.
All right,
so first things first, what did you think when you heard the news of the suspension today?
Well, big fella, you know the suspension falls in line with what I thought it would be. I didn't think that Judge Robinson would come anywhere close to what the NFL was pushing for, which was an indefinite suspension of the year-long variety, potentially longer. And it's just because of the facts that the NFL presented in the hearing that lasted 3 days about a month ago. The NFL, by its own, you know, investigative findings, by its own reports, and their own case that they made, said that they did not believe Deshaun Watson had any forced coercion. And I thought that would be the thing that Judge Robinson held on to when she was deciding what kind of discipline to levy against Deshaun Watson. Turns out her findings, her review of the material came to that same conclusion, and that's where we land on the six games.
Chris, you've been in these locker rooms, and you've experienced what it's like to go through a situation like this. Do players actually care what happens off the field, or is it all about what happens on the field when the lights are brightest?
Oh, no, Nick, this matters. This matters, especially when you start talking about situations that affect women, because all players have mothers, and a lot of guys have wives, girlfriends, and some of them even have little girls that they're raising. And so when it comes to issues regarding women, this is something that's really sensitive in NFL locker rooms. And I was in Baltimore with the Ravens when Ray Rice happened in 2014. And I can tell you that it was an emotional time in our locker room, not just in our community, not just amongst NFL fans, but just in our locker room, and having to process all the different feels and, you know, go through that and set that to the side and try to focus on the business at hand, which is playing football and winning. That is not something that's easily done. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the preseason continues to unfold for the Cleveland Browns, because I'm sure there are going to be some mixed emotions in that locker room, just like a lot of mixed emotions amongst Cleveland Browns fans and NFL fans as a whole.
Chris Canty popping on, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Nick Friedell in for Chris today, but he's got a few minutes for us. All right, so at this point, I'm starting to come around to the idea. Chris, I honestly didn't know what to think between this morning and until about showtime today of, is the league going to pursue this further or not? And I've come to the thought that I do think they will. I do think they will appeal it. Just primarily because the benefits of pursuing it, not only for doing the right thing, from a public relations standpoint, kind of outweigh the idea that this is a story that could then still be over their heads for 7 or 8 months. What's your take on whether or not the league you think will pursue this?
Well, Carlin, I would argue the opposite. If the league pursues this, this is going to be something that's hanging over the NFL for the entirety of the season. This doesn't go away, because the appeal goes to Roger Goodell, and we've heard from Adam Schefter and others that he could appoint a designee that will hear the appeals from both sides in the case. But then ultimately this comes back to the NFL. And then Deshaun Watson's people, if they don't agree with what the appeals officer hands down in the form of a suspension, then they could challenge that in court. So again, this becomes an ugly, dragged out situation. And I'm not sure the NFL has the appetite on that. And on top of this, Carlin, this process was supposed to be to help the NFL move away from a situation where Roger Goodell could then be put in a tight spot in terms of, you know, whether or not he issued the right form of discipline, and they can go back to his record and they can talk about the inconsistencies and how he deals with players as opposed to how he deals with owners. And we all know how the language in the personal conduct policy lays out, where owners are supposed to be held to a higher standard, but they're not, because the owners are Roger Goodell's boss. So again, and when you look at this situation, I don't think there's anyone more qualified to make a ruling on the discipline for Deshaun Watson than Judge Robinson. I just don't see that person in the equation. And so I think that's why the NFL will put it out there that they're not happy with what happened, but I think they would end up abiding by it just like the NFLPA does. Because remember, if Roger Goodell decides he's going to do something different than Judge Robinson, he's got to have a really strong case to present in terms of why he decided to impose a stricter discipline over Judge Watson, because after all, she is a former federal judge.
Chris, as we wait to see what the NFL does, you mentioned the experience you had in Baltimore with the Ray Rice case. If you're the Browns and you're the veterans in that group, in that locker room, how do you smooth things out with Deshaun Watson and everybody else moving forward now?
Here's what I will say, Nick. Deshaun Watson is a supremely talented player. In the survey that Jeremy Fowler did with NFL execs and general managers, he checked in as being the ninth best quarterback in the National Football League, and the guy hasn't played for an entire calendar year. That just shows you how high an opinion people have of him in terms of his ability on the field. And ultimately, what this will come back to for the guys in the locker room is, can this dude help us win? Because if he helps us win, then it helps me do my job and it helps me feed my family. And so I think that's where a lot of players will land. I don't want to speak for anybody in the Cleveland Browns locker room, but I think that's how they move past this. Once the discipline is final, then I think there will be some form of closure for the players in the locker room, and they'll have a plan on how the team is going to move forward and when they can expect to have Deshaun back.
Chris Canty with us. Chris, before we let you go, just want to give you a little opportunity here. Your thoughts on the passing of Bill Russell and his importance not only in the game, but what he meant to so many across the country on a social level.
I mean, Carlin, he's the greatest winner in professional team sports. Yeah. I don't know that there's really anyone that's a close second. When you talk about all of the accolades and him being the centerpiece of the Boston Celtics dynasty in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So I look at Bill Russell as a giant, not just for what he did on the court, but also what he did off the court, Carlin. That's the thing that will, you know, stick out in my mind anytime I think about Bill Russell. The first black coach in the association, he was a player coach for the Boston Celtics. And then you talk about his work with other leaders of his time with the Cleveland Summit in the late 60s and what they were doing in terms of trying to move civil rights forward and what they did for black and brown communities in this country. So Bill Russell, again, the greatest winner in professional team sports and one of the best patriots that I know of that I can remember in my lifetime.
All right, brother, we will see you tomorrow. You and I are in for Greeny tomorrow morning. Looking forward to it.
All right, y'all hang in there. Nick, hang in there, man. Hang in there. You only got a couple of more hours.
I'll see you soon, hours. Mr. Canty.
All right, later on.
Chris Canty, of course, of this show, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. In just moments, more on the passing of Bill Russell, his impact, and the things that people probably don't realize about him, where he made his greatest impact, and personal stories as well. We've got it all for you in just moments. Nick Friedell, Chris Carlin, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Canty and Carlin.
Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Russell died today.
Someone who is just beyond description.
Nobody won as much as Bill Russell.
Didn't cower to anyone, and he played life by his rules.
I don't think the majority of people in this world today really understand all the things that he and his family went through and what he went through as a basketball player.
Bill Russell, basketball player, coach, GM, author, broadcaster, and social activist, was 88 years old.
11-time champion in the NBA with the Boston Celtics, not to mention the championships at University of San Francisco, an Olympic gold medal, the first black coach in any professional sport. I mean, the list goes on and on with the impact that Bill Russell made on professional sports and society as well. It's Chris Carlin, Nick Friedell on Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And, you know, we've spent some time, we had Patrick Ewing on earlier, about the passing of Bill Russell. In about an hour and 15 minutes, we're going to talk to the great Bob Ryan from Boston about Russell and his relationship with that city. When I think about him, I think about winning, and I just think about a guy that was very cerebral in every way. And I feel like, you know, we don't ever describe athletes that way. You know, so many of them, I think there are a lot of athletes that want to be described as very cerebral, yes, but some that just don't come across that way. Bill Russell always came across that way.
The thing I have respected the most about him, Chris, through the years, not only in reading and studying about all the different things he accomplished on and off the floor, and it seems, as we're learning more about his legacy in the wake of his passing, so much of what people remember is because of what he did off the floor. He stood up for things that he felt were right in times where that was not really the thing for a lot of people to do. And for Bill Russell to take the stand and to back it up with his actions in those moments, that is something that I respect the hell out of him for. And when you talk to this era's players in the NBA, that is what there is such an appreciation for, on top of the fact that, as you and I have both said, he is the game's biggest winner of all time. When you match it up against anybody, Bill Russell comes out on top. But the respect factor goes off the charts when you realize what he lived through and how he lived in those moments.
And when we talk about what he lived through, talking about his home being vandalized in Boston, the town that was, you know, racially divisive in a whole lot of ways for a very long time. And here was a guy that became the biggest star in that town for as long as could be, but there were still people that did not want him there because of his race. Here's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the Hall of Famer, of course, who was on NBA Today earlier on what he learned from Bill Russell.
Well, he taught me personally that you don't have to sacrifice what you want to say as a man from what you are invited to say as an athlete. Mm. There's room for both in your life, and you should express yourself in both ways, your profession, and then what you believe in and what is important to you as a human being and as a citizen. Those things don't have to not be able to coexist.
You know, I have to think about when I think about the impact that he's had and how he was able to speak his mind without really having real concern for what consequences were of his of what he would say in a time where that was not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what that bravery and mentality is like in being able to do that without being concerned about, you know, I mean, today it's all about image and all that kind of stuff. And yes, there are athletes who speak out, but that kind of athlete to me, in an era where it wasn't easy to do, it just, I don't know that I could ever quantify that kind of impact.
And I think the thing, as we talk through all the different things that he accomplished in his legacy, Chris, that I keep coming back to is to continue professionally to play at the level that he did, knowing how many people in his own city were hoping that he wouldn't succeed and weren't supportive of him just trying to live his life. That when you go back and forth on what he did in the moment in history when he did it, I just cannot process that, because I think of, again, so many guys in this era of the NBA, they'll sit on Twitter and somebody will say something about them and they just fall apart.
Yeah.
They can't handle a tweet that's coming their way. Bill Russell dealt with it every single day to the lengths of which it's hard to imagine how he continued to stay above so much of it and how he performed the way he did. And that the mental toughness that it took for him to be the player that he was in those moments is just so very impressive to me.
You know, just to I only met him twice and certainly never saw him play. Didn't have long interactions with him. I was a producer of a show in New York. He was coming on the show and chatted with him for a few minutes and saw him interact with people. He was famous for not wanting to sign autographs. And it wasn't because he didn't want to sign autographs. He would rather sit there and talk to a person for a few minutes and kind of give them that personal memory of interaction with him. And, you know, I don't know if it was because people sell autographs or what it was, but like I always kind of dug that about him, even though I would absolutely want his autograph. I always kind of dug the idea of enjoying the moment. It kind of takes me away. It kind of now makes me think about like when we're at a concert or sporting event or something, we're always filming something as opposed to just taking in that moment and what that's like.
And appreciate the moment for what it is. Although I have the flip side of that story, which is my dad passed away a few years ago. But when he was still with us, he always told the story of I was about 8 years old. I grew up in Orlando, Florida. The Magic had just started. Bill Russell had come to a Magic game. So I'm 8 years old with a pen and my little ticket. And my dad says, "Hey, that's Bill Russell. Go get his autograph. He's unbelievable." And I walk up and I say, "Mr. Russell, can I have your autograph?" And he's like, "No, kid." And I came back to my dad and I was bawling. I was crying my eyes out because I didn't understand. And we didn't understand why he didn't enjoy signing autographs in the moment. But it was that experience that my dad and I shared, because my dad looked up to him so much growing up in the Boston area. And we just kind of went, well, that's his thing. But as an 8 year old, I know there are plenty of people out there who had a similar experience when they would ask him to sign something and he wanted no part of it.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that was the commercialization of it or what it was, but for an eight-year-old, that's a tough one. There's no lie.
It was difficult.
That's a tough one to get past. You're not looking for any rationalization of, you know, capitalism and why you can't sell my autograph.
Sign my ticket stub, Mr. Russell.
I'll tell you what, though. This is somebody that we talk about the all-time greats, and we remember them, especially when they pass away. But I don't know that this is somebody that you can ever properly place exactly where his importance is in professional sports, in society, unless you're really looking at the very top of the list in both categories for what he was willing to do.
And he went out in a way, Chris, where he was willing to do things that a lot of other guys in that era weren't.
I love the fact that he wanted to defend, wanted to do everything else, and just absolutely lived rent-free in Wilt's head. Like, it kind of struck me as he and Wilt were close, but at the same time, it struck me of the old Jordan idea of befriending guys.
Jordan and Barkley.
Beat him. Yep, Barkley, Ewing. There was a thought he did that with a few different guys. Same kind of thing. Same kind of thing.
The one thing that I think you can appreciate right now, as sad as everybody is especially in the last few years, and the NBA Finals trophy is the Bill Russell trophy, it really felt like the league and the players in the league went out of their way to express to him, while he was still with us, just how much he meant. Even after all the awfulness that he went through throughout his career, in these last few years, it felt like he embraced that, and he could feel that, and the league tried as hard as it could to make sure that he understood that and could still appreciate it while he was still living.
Bill Russell, 88 years of age, passed away yesterday, and just an amazing impact in so many different ways. Canty and Carlin, presented by Progressive Insurance, a triple threat of protection with home, auto, and more. Visit progressive.com. So how should we view the Cleveland Browns and everything they did to get a quarterback who now is going to be suspended for 6 games? In just moments, Mina Kimes joins us. It's Chris Carlin, Nick Friedell on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Deshaun Watson has been suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Continuing coverage all day. More next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Canty and Carlin.
We have enormous breaking news from the National Football League. Adam Schefter, the decision has been made. What can you tell us?
Sue L. Robinson, the retired federal judge, handed down her decision. Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games.
6 games is within what the Browns thought in that building. They were thinking 6 to 8 games for months. If you're in that building right now, you have to be relieved.
And so the Browns now wait to see if the league will go ahead and appeal the decision by Judge Sue Robinson that Deshaun Watson deserves the 6-game suspension. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. It's Chris Carlin, Nick Friedell filling in for Chris Canty today. And the great Mina Kimes joins us right now, ESPN NFL analyst. First things first, Mina, when you heard the suspension, give me your initial reaction and thoughts.
You know, when I first heard the number, and it was right when I woke up here on Pacific time, I thought it was low, given the volume of the number of allegations. The judge only considered 4, though we know that. But to Diana's point, I had been hearing 6 to 8 for a while. I think what was more surprising to me actually than the number was reading Judge Robinson's report. Because if you read it, and really, I hope everyone does, it's on ESPN.com, she essentially agrees with most of the NFL's case. She says in the section labeled findings that she believes Watson did engage in unwanted sexual touching, sexual assault by the definition of preponderance of evidence. And yet, despite all of that, she sticks with six games because of precedent and then because she believes it doesn't fall under the auspice of sexual violence. And I think that was what was stunning to me, for her to spell all of this out, to say that she essentially agrees with the NFL, but then argue that it's not sexual violence. And I think going forward, as we now wait to see whether or not the NFL does appeal the decision, and then if they do so, whether Roger Goodell comes down with a harder punishment, that's going to be something, kind of a sticking point that might impact how they move next.
I mean, it feels like nobody is really happy on any side of this decision. In your mind, is there anything the NFL can do to make this right?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it merits a greater suspension. I mean, she said herself, Judge Robinson, in her report that it was, she'd never seen, the NFL had not sort of seen a pattern of behavior this egregious. I don't see how you can kind of come to that conclusion and come to all the conclusions I just described and give him the same suspension that you gave Ezekiel Elliott, or less than, players who have been dinged for smoking pot or financial crimes. Obviously, the Calvin Ridley gambling suspension has been mentioned a lot today. And I understand that the rules are different for these different offenses. And then, of course, there's, in the case of Ridley, the NFL had explicit proof. But frankly, this is not the judicial system. They're not acting solely basis on precedent, and the standards are not the same. And I think for Roger Goodell, whose tenure has been so marred at points by how he has dealt with cases involving domestic abuse and sexual violence, this is a potential milestone in his career, and I think a legacy-defining moment.
It feels like that. Mina Kimes with us, ESPN NFL analyst. And what I'm having trouble reconciling right now is, if the league, and they want us to think that they wanted to get away from being involved in a disciplinary process, yet he has the ultimate say here if they do appeal, and then he will make the decision or designate somebody to make the decision. But also the fact that if Sue Robinson's in charge here, why is she going based off of precedent based on previous NFL decisions with suspension length? Doesn't that feel at odds with itself?
It's a very legalistic interpretation, right? I mean, they put her in charge of the initial decision, and obviously both sides collectively bargained to have an appeals process because the NFL felt, because a lot of people felt the previous system was flawed, but the previous system is how they landed on those suspensions, right?
Yeah.
So you're essentially like basing the suspension on those previous suspensions under a system that was, I think, widely disliked, and it is tricky. I think if there is an appeal and Goodell does expand the punishment, there will be some criticism. Well, didn't you give her this responsibility to avoid this? But that process, the process that ultimately does give him final responsibility, was collectively bargained. And so as much as the NFLPA, the Players Association, doesn't want that to be the case, they said last night before the suspension came out that they hoped everybody would be happy with it, which I think was telling of where this was all going. This is the process that they agreed to. And I think Goodell is perfectly within his rights to make that kind of call.
Mina, you heard what Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, said in the last hour to the media. What did you make of him saying he believed that Watson will make good decisions on and off the field?
I don't think he said a lot, honestly. He was asked about some of the findings in the report and kind of deferred to Watson himself. And then when he was asked about his confidence in Watson doing so, I don't really see how he could give any other answer, given that they just gave Watson the most guaranteed money, in the history of football. I think what I would want to ask Kevin Stefanski or the Browns organization when given the chance is, if you respect this process and respect the judge's findings, do you disagree with them? I mean, do you disagree with her conclusion that Watson did engage in sexual assault? And how do you take that, knowing that he is the face of the franchise? But I strongly suspect that both parties would probably not answer that question either.
I was going to say, the Browns PR person just passed out hearing you say that.
So. Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL. Yeah, absolutely. ESPN NFL analyst with us. With that in mind, last one for me, Mina. How should we look at the Browns? I mean, they did what they did to go and make sure that they got a quarterback, and did everything to not just get him, but also to grease the skids. He's going to lose $345,000 in game checks as opposed to $15 million because of the way they structured the contract. How should we reconcile that?
I mean, the Browns were desperate. You know, Kyler Murray just got a contract that's equal in terms of the total, but did not receive the sort of guarantees that Watson got. This was not a precedent-changing contract. It was an outlier. It was a sign of how much the Browns were willing to do whatever it took to win. And they're not the only one. Of course, other teams were also in pursuit of Watson. I think, you know, often with these types of cases, when athletes who are superstars are accused of bad behavior, ranging the gamut, and are treated differently. It's a reminder of the fact that there are different standards for stars, and that, you know, sports fandom and the prioritization of winning at all costs can lead to these sorts of decisions. But this, to me, strikes me as an unusually stark example of that phenomena. No more so than seeing Watson at camp today being applauded by fans.
Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst. We appreciate the insight, Mina. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right. There is so much more to dive into with this, including how the league now handles this moving forward. Are they, in the next 3 days, going to appeal this, or do they just want it to go away? Nick and I will give you our takes in just moments and answer that question on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Deshaun Watson has been suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Continuing coverage all day on ESPN Radio. Canty and Carlin.
Lighten the mood a little bit on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Nick Friedell in for Chris today. How about this from over the weekend? 4 days into his first training camp, Jaguars rookie kicker Andrew Mevis was cut. He missed 3 field goals during the team's Thursday warm-ups. During warm-ups. And according to ESPN's Michael DiRocco, one of those field goals missed the mark so badly that it hit former Cowboys head coach Dave Campo in the shoulder, and the other two weren't even remotely close to the goalpost. He hit Dave, like, did Dave Campo just magically appear?
I love that Dave Campo just is pop back into the conversation after all these years. But Chris, what kills me is, can you imagine if Mevis picks up the phone and is like, yeah, calls home, or he calls his buddies, I got cut. What happened? Well, I missed these 3 kicks, and one of them knocked this coach in the shoulder. It was a rough day. I mean, that is not a conversation I want to be having.
You go in there and have the Trent Baalke conversation. Listen, you hit Campo in the head. Go home and tell your mother you're a flop.
Like that. That's it. Of all the times where I actually wanted to see a Hard Knocks camera.
Exactly.
Have the camera running in the office somewhere. That is the conversation that Hard Knocks missed out on.
Oh, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I mean, and I'm sorry for the kid. I hope he gets another chance. But, I mean, you're missing by that much during warm-ups, and it's Thursday, like 4 days into showing up. How can you hope to have a chance of making the team at that point?
This is the Jags and their kickers. They've had some interesting stories in the last few years.
Yeah, at least there wasn't an axe to the leg of any sort this time. Oh,
and,
my God.
And Urban wasn't saying some stuff he shouldn't be. I mean,
yeah.
That is an underrated subplot in a league full of them.
If you're a kicker then, do you avoid signing with Jacksonville? Like, if that's your only shot, or they say, you know what, it's Jacksonville, the USFL, or you go to Canada. Maybe you look into Canada.
Yeah, you stay away.
It's Winnipeg in the summer. Maybe I give it a shot.
Yeah, that's right. Or you say, you know what? I'll go live on the beach and I'll make my way for a few months and see what happens. See if I can turn things around.
That's nothing against the Jaguars. It's just you're right. I hadn't even thought of that. That the history with kickers is just bizarre. I can't. Is there some sort of is the stadium on a burial ground or some sort of the training camp where kickers can't make kicks? Oh my God. Is Ray Finkel buried there? What's going on?
Einhorn and Finkel.
Canty and Carlin.
So should the league pursue this further? Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Want you to be a part of the program. We want your take on this. Did Deshaun Watson get enough? Should the league be pushing this further after he was suspended for 6 games? Chris is off today. Nick Friedell sitting in for Chris Canty. I honestly have come around, and I can change my mind like that, but I have come around on the idea that, okay, it's a story that's going to hang over your head for another year, but is that really not worth all of the positivity that is going to come from the league saying, no, this is not enough? I don't care that this is the new process. Yes, it's not what we wanted right away, but let's go get this right. And if he wants to fight us back on it, so be it. We'll go and fight on it.
Chris, as we have discussed it throughout the afternoon, I have come to the conclusion that for me, if I'm Roger Goodell in the league, I'm appealing. Because you have seen so often when all these different cases have popped to the forefront. People always go, the NFL letting somebody else off the hook or not doing as much as they could be doing. Here's their chance. We put this in position so it wouldn't just be Roger Goodell making the decision. And now here we are saying, well, we want to give this one more try in the severity that has come across. So if I'm the NFL, I don't think there is that much to be lost in appealing and putting it back in the news cycle, because if you do tack on some more games, who's going to really be upset aside from Deshaun Watson and the Browns at this point? It felt like public opinion was on the side of, wow, if not a year, at least more games than 6. And I don't think that has changed at any point once we've heard Judge Robinson's decision.
So let's flush this out for a second. Just let's paint both scenarios for a moment. You decide that you want this to die, that you're just going to rely on the apathy of the fan and that they're so tired of hearing about it that you're not going to hear, you believe the outrage that you would hear is worth going through for what you think is a couple of days. That's number one. If you're going to do that, you're going to then come around with all of the breast cancer awareness stuff. You have tried to show in the way that you have handled yourself as a league that women are important to you, and you've had to do that over the last few years, and justifiably so. You're going to go and decide, okay, we just want this thing to go away. We don't want to deal with that story for a year. That's one. You're going to deal with protesters. I guarantee there are going to be protesters, as there should be. You're going to deal with more fallout from it, and you're going to deal like there will be, I mean, I hate to put it this way, there will be some attention-hungry congressman or senator that will grab onto it as an issue, and then, you know, you just were dealing with Daniel Snyder, and we haven't even touched on that part of it, like, everybody's going to look at the league and say, well, they don't care about women and they don't, all they care about is winning and losing and all that, except when it comes to their owners and the way that they are not held to the same standard. I mean, Nick, like all of that to me just feels like a ton of negativity outside of just not doing the right thing.
When was the last time, Chris, in one of these situations that the public opinion was that the NFL did the right thing?
Yeah, it's been a while, to say the least.
I mean, off the top of my head, and I love football. I consume it like so much of the general public. I can't even think of a moment in time where you went, yep, the NFL, they got this right the first time. Mm-hmm. They didn't need the public outcry of you messed this up, or somebody in Congress or the Senate saying, no, Roger, you need to discuss this a little further. I can't remember a time where I felt like the NFL publicly got a story or a case or whatever it may be right, and everybody was behind them the first time.
Let me ask you this. Nick Friedell in for Chris Canty today. Nick, of course, covers the NBA for ESPN. If this was the NBA, what would Adam Silver do? What would be the fallout here?
Well, here's the bedrock difference. The NBA has built up so much more of the public trust. And Chris, to me, I go back to Adam Silver just starting his tenure and Donald Sterling being kicked out of the league. Just flat kicked out. Get out of here. Nobody wants to see you anymore. The NBA has gone out of its way to cultivate an image with which they want the public to believe that they are very clear on where they want to stand socially. In the NFL, they haven't done that, frankly. And so the difference would be the NBA is already in a better place because they've built up the benefit of the doubt that the NFL lost a long time ago.
You know, just as we talk about that, we have, so many of us have looked at the NFL, and I think justifiably so, into a league that has become Teflon in so many ways. And that's what's bothersome about this. Why don't you use the Teflon for good, so to speak? Like, this is not going to stick to you if you go after it. You're almost hurting yourself. You're almost daring people. You're almost hurting yourself when you decide you're not going to pursue this. Like, you think about all those other leagues. You think about how they would handle it, the NBA specifically. The league is Teflon in a lot of ways, and they need to use that shield for good.
Chris Canty and Chris Carlin are Canty and Carlin. Don't miss them weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.